Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Yeah, baby. Welcome back, my minions, to the number one sports talk show in the world. Whether or not you're listening to us right there on your PC, your laptop, your phone, your car radio, we're so glad that you guys have taken time out your Saturday morning to join the number one sports talk show. And that's right, it's The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My minions, it is so good to have you along on a very exciting Saturday. We're gearing up for a fantastic week. And then coming up next week, guys, heck yeah, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Crown Royal. Yeah, we're going to get into all of that, the 400, the naming. We now have a name your hero. You know, it seems like a mouthful, but, you know, I tell you what, my hat's off to Crown Royal. I knew I liked that drink for a reason. So, yeah, make sure you guys stick around. We got a great show for you today. I am really, really stoked about today's show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, we always have a lot of fun here on The Balance. But today we've got a really good show for you. Of course, here coming up here at 9:05, Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com and Radio Speed Talk is going to come on, and we're going to talk racing. All those things that go fast and what you want to know about it, all the ins and outs of all the things that have been going on in racing this past week and what's going on here in the next week. And then coming up at 9:30, we got and for those of you that follow racing, especially here in the Indianapolis market area, you know that for the very first year, the Grand Am Series were coming to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway as part of the Brickyard Weekend and all the festivities that are going on. And we've had him on the show here before. But a really bright young driver by the name of Kyle Gimble is going to join us at 9:30, and he's got some really big news. You know what we're excited about? He chose The Balance to break the news to the world. So we've got a very, very big announcement from Grand Am driver Kyle Gimble, who will be joining us coming up here at 9:30. 9:45. That's right. We continue talking about some racing. Mr. Scott Smith. Again, been on the show before. You guys all know who he is out there at Lucas Oil Raceway. He's the communications director, the guy that just, you know, really makes all the PR stuff happen, you know, gets us in the races, takes care of the media, feeds us, all of that good stuff. Is going to talk to us about what's going on at Lucas Oil Raceway. Obviously, as we know, this is the very first year that the Nationwide Series won't be out at Lucas. It's going to be a little bit naked out there this year, but they do have this Speed Fest going on, and we're going to talk about that and what's going on. Obviously, they still got some racing for you out there, race fans, so make sure that you check them out. And at 10 o'clock, guys, and as you know, here in Indianapolis, we have the number one draft pick in the entire NFL, and I'm speaking about one Mr. Andrew Luck. Finally gets his contract signed, and Rich Nye of WTHR Sports. Rich Nye, the sports guy, going to join us right at the top of the hour, at the start of the next segment, to talk about that very contract and what it means. And obviously, RG3 signed with the Redskins, you know, just a few days prior to that. And as you know, as you remember, RG3 and Andrew Luck, we were kind of wondering, is RG3 going to be here in Indy? And we're going to pass up Luck. Of course, that didn't happen. And, you know, after a lot of dismay among fans, I suppose, or anxiety, we finally got a contract, so Rich Nye is going to join us at 10 o'clock to talk about that. 10:15, Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report, hot joint of the week. And then, guys, that's right, at 10:30, we got a brand new segment. Well, it's not a brand new segment. We just got a brand new sponsor. It's kind of cool. We got the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle coming up at 10:30. We're going to talk about fantasy football, getting you all ready for the fantasy football draft coming up here in the very, very near future. So, guys, all I'm going to tell you is you don't want to miss a bit of this show, because buckle up, because it's going to be a real fast show. Standing by in the wings, we'll be right back. Mr. Pete LaFuchsia of Radio Speed Talk.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits.
More.
And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it, I need it, and I'm gonna have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM, realmsofmusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, my minions, welcome back. Welcome back. Saturday morning, it is time to put the metal to the pedal. And joining us to kick things off always is the guys from Radio Speed Talk this time of the week. Every week to talk about some racing is Mr. Pete LaFuchsia and Mr. Tornado Pete, Mr. Pothole Pete. I don't know. I tell you what, Pete, I think we here on the show we did come up with the nickname that Tornado Pete would be the best nickname for you. So Pothole Pete got beat out here on the show by, and it was listeners' vote. So Tornado Pete, it is, brother.
All right, just don't call me late for dinner.
I understand, my friend. I like to eat myself. You know, went out to City Barbecue here in Avon last night. Got me a big old slab of ribs, some baked beans, some coleslaw, some hush puppies. I'm going to tell you what, I was out for the evening after that. I was out for the evening. So how was vacation, sir?
Very, very good. I missed all the heat waves that we had up in northeast Indiana. So where I was at, never got below 88, never got above 92. So perfect. Lake was never choppy. Great having the boat. Spent some time with family. Just all around, it was great.
Well, I tell you what, we've had a lot of great things happen here on the show, and you know, we're just glad that you're back and you made it safely. You didn't run into any tornadoes or anything like that?
Nope. No tornadoes.
No tornadoes. Well, it's so good to have Pete LaFuchsia of Radio Speed Talk joining us here on The Balance. And obviously, you can hear them on right here on The Balance Radio Network every Sunday afternoon. Just tune in, and we always tweet out the times and social media. And I know that we've got the same guest this week, Mr. Scott Smith and Lucas Oya. But what else is going on your show this week, Pete?
Basically, this is the first time in quite a while the whole group of us, we actually sat down and just talked about what's going on in all of racing, whether it be the A.J. Allmendinger drug test issue. We also talk about Matt Kenseth and his future. And then you've got Bob Osborne just suddenly leaving the number 99 team there. I mean, that begs to ask the question, what's going on with Roush? And so, I mean, it was great to just sit down and talk at length about what was going on and all the other stuff that went on. We also recapped the Nationwide and the Camping World Truck Race. We also recapped the Loudon Race for Spring Cup. So it was a really, it's a really good show. It's just sometimes it's good not to have a guest because then you get so much done and you finally get it off your chest.
I totally understand, my friend. Absolutely, and I do got some things I want to get off my chest with you here in just a moment. And one of those things, and I really want to kind of dive into this. But before I do that, I actually had one of our listeners down in Florida contact us over the weekend and ask us a question about a rumor. I said I would do some research on it. Now, I think that it's not a little-known rumor, but what I want to know is the facts behind it, and that is Andretti leaving IndyCar for NASCAR and Marco not to follow. What are your thoughts on that rumor?
Actually, I've not heard anything about that yet. This is the first time hearing of it, but wow. Dang. That's some interesting info. I mean, they ask the question, what kind of a tier team are they going to be when they get to NASCAR? In other words, they're obviously not going to jump up and be there with the RCRs, the Roushes, or Hendricks, but are they going to be on the level with the Ganassi, Petty, and all them, or are they just going to be down there with Front Row and all them?
Well, and, you know, obviously we'll do our research, and certainly we're not making any type of formal announcement or anything like that, but just I didn't know if you had heard about that, and obviously, and the rumors also flying that they're going to make a play for Matt Kenseth to be their driver, so I don't know if that's going to happen. Of course, you know how these things start. They all start right here on radio shows, but hey, that's what we do here. We fuel the fire, right? We give people something to talk about.
Fueling it, I mean, the big thing that I'm hearing in radio, listening to all the NASCAR shows and all that, is it's all but a done deal that Kenseth is going to Joe Gibbs, and Joey Logano is going to spend do a 2-year deal, 100% Nationwide, and then tickle a fourth team for Joe Gibbs. So he's still with the organization, kind of like what Penske did with Sam Hornish. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll throw you back. You do really good there, and then we'll bring you back on occasion.
Right. I agree. I've heard the same thing, but also, you know, I think if anybody has proven, obviously with their ability to get Denica Patrick and just the different big names that Andretti has, everybody knows Andretti has money. Money talks in this industry very big and very loud, and right now Matt Kenseth has no contract. Certainly, I heard the same thing that you did, Pete, but I just I wanted to bring that to the forefront, so if any of our listeners have any thoughts or have heard about that, give us a call, 516. Well, on to the meat of your segment, Mr. Pete. That was one of the best news that comes out of the typically we don't mix the government and the government and the sports. Real quickly, I do want to say this, guys, and I didn't slip my mind. I just get excited at the beginning. So this show dedicated to the victims of the Colorado shooting. It was a sad incident out there, and you know, I want everybody to know that you know, we're on it, and we also say go out there in Colorado real quickly. Pete, do you have anything to say about that?
It's just a sad incident when something like this happens. I mean, we're all obviously we're still in the infancy of the whole incident, and there's a million things coming out. Just remember, don't make a judgment off of what you hear from one place or another. Obviously, this guy is guilty of it, but we don't be jumping to conclusions that, oh, hey, it was this, it was that. We need gun control. We don't need gun control. We need to do this. Folks, sit back, analyze what happened, and also pray for the families of the victims. I mean, because that's the big thing right there. They need our support right now throughout the whole thing.
Absolutely. Well, one other thing. We're in stocks of the House defeats a military sponsor band. And to me, that's just what was a bunch of crock to begin with, but that's our government. You know, in my soapbox there. Over in the car, too, and you know, about all different things in NASCAR. We look at the role that plays. And obviously, you know, you guys are pro-military. I'm pro-military. And that the proposal, it was a proposal to end, for some of that, to end military sponsorship of major sporting events, was defeated in a vote of the U.S. House of Representatives on Wednesday night, ensuring that the service branches can continue to use leagues such as NASCAR as a recruiting tool. And, you know, the measure was defeated by a narrow margin, a 216-202 vote. Earlier on Wednesday, the House members vigorously debated the merits of military sponsorships in sports. And I think, guys, I think a lot of it that goes back to the National Guard spent $26.5 million on the back of Earnhardt's car. And that's just, I guess they're saying maybe they're spending too much money. It's government-funded money. Okay, I get it. But, guys, you know what? If we're going to spend money, if we're going to go out there, if people think we're out there throwing away money, by golly, throw away money, put the National Guard, support our troops at a race. That's what I say. We certainly spend the government certainly has plenty of other wasteful things that they can cut first before cutting military sponsorship in NASCAR. Thoughts, Pete? Pete, what happened?
Money.
Okay.
My question is any of that money coming back to us? No. So in other words, he's saving money here so he could spend more money over here. That's wrong, and I agree with you. You need to keep the money in there because you're supporting something that people are there. There's another representative who says, I want to see a study that says there's a direct correlation. If we sponsor a football bowl game, if we sponsor a NASCAR team, if we sponsor an NHRA, if we sponsor a powerboat team, is that directly helping us recruit? And I hate to say this, but they're probably not going to get the numbers they want on the recruitment side because, you know what, people, it's one of those things where it needs to be hammered home. It's a bang the drum. It's like, okay, yeah, I see it. It's repetitive. You and I, we work in radio. We know that if somebody hears a message enough, it stays in the front part of their mind, and that's what's happening when you see them sponsoring a NASCAR, an NHRA car, or a college bowl game. It's because they're basically banging the drum, helping these kids who are on the fence, saying, you know what, I don't know if I want to go to college, but man, I need to do something right after high school. And that's what it is. The military gives them that chance, and this is a way to help the recruiters get the kids in.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know what? Here's the thing. I think that, honestly, this is my opinion. I have no factual basis for this. But, you know, since we're mixing sports talk and conservative talk radio maybe today for a few moments, I think it's just another effort by the left to ensure that the military is taken away, I just think it's another effort by the regime that we live under in the current times. It's another sign of what's going on, and certainly you can infer my own political opinions from that. This isn't a political show. I'm not going to do that. But everybody knows that at the Brickyard at NASCAR is predominantly good old boy redneck network, and those guys vote to the right. And if we could do anything to honk them off, we'll do that. And to me, that's all it was. But I'm going to I digress there, Mr. Pete. Don't get me on one of my soapbox.
No problem. But to keep it all in fair, it wasn't just a Democrat that put it up, that the representative from Minnesota. It was, she had a co-sponsor, Republican from Georgia, and his thing was totally different than hers. Hers is, oh, we don't need to be sponsoring anything like this. His was, no, we need to save the money. But the question I ask again, okay, is that money coming back to us? Is Tom Mark was getting a check for 72 cents. Because that's what it boiled down to. Somebody said the amount of money they spend on sporting events, would it be a check for 72 cents to everyone? You know, I don't mind paying 72 cents.
I don't mind it either. Absolutely. I'll chip in a dollar from Tom Mark was here, El Presidente.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Well, you know, obviously we got a lot of some other racing stuff to talk about. And I know you're going to talk about Allmendinger's B sample tests and all that stuff on your show. You know, really, we spent a lot of time talking about it last week on the show, myself and Penny or Penny. I appreciate that. Pete or Kenny. Saturday morning coffee hasn't kicked in yet. But real quickly, and I really don't want to spend a lot of time on Allmendinger's test because, really, it is what it is, and however it comes out, it comes out. And, we can break down all the logistics of it, but is there anything you want to point out on Allmendinger's sample B test, which is set obviously for July 24th?
Well, how much longer did they need? I mean, I understand that they're getting all their ducks in a row, but man, the longer they wait, the more guilty it makes him seem. I'm not one to say that he's guilty. I think he's a great guy. I think he may have been using something that he didn't know was illegal, because one thing that I've learned in all of this is that that NASCAR changes their drug policy every 90 days. They add new stuff to it. And, I mean, for all we know, is in AJ, he works out a lot. Him and Carl Edwards, probably the two hardest, I mean, physically in-shape guys behind the wheel out there on the track, and he may have been doing some stuff to pump himself up and then not realizing that, oh, my God, this supplement here, which he was told by somebody else, oh, no, it's not on the list. Well, guess what? It was put on the list. I mean, I wish we could find out if it was just a sleeping aid, because one of the first stories that came out, and this is, again, where when these stories first come out, it stinks that their camps aren't talking, because then that leaves other people out there to throw out information. One of the things we heard was it was an unapproved sleep aid, and unapproved in the sense that he had a prescription for it, but the 90 days had lapsed since that prescription, so therefore it was unapproved on his case. So, I mean, we're hearing that. Or is it a new sleep aid that, because chemists who had a banned substance that had A, B, C, and D in it, came in and removed C, and they had A, B, and D, but it still gave the same results, didn't realize that now that's banned. So there's just so much that can be done with all this, but just waiting so long. One of my part-time jobs that I do on and off to make some money is I work for a medical lab, and you would not believe how fast you can get results on stuff. To hear that he's taken till July 24th to test the sample B, that's just saying, okay, you know what, they're basically got people plowing through a book. They've got lawyers to the gill saying, okay, how's the best way we can fight this if it comes back positive?
Right. Well, you know, we want to just move on past that, and obviously there's a lot to talk about that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about what's coming up here very next weekend right here in Indianapolis. It's the Crown Royal Curtis Shaver 400. Seems like a mouthful. And as you know, we've been talking about the Crown Royal, but put your name your hero here 400. Well, now we have a hero. We have him named. The five finalists for this year were presented to name your hero's name here at the Brickyard at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and it was recently announced this year's winner is Fire Lieutenant and EMT from Troy, Alabama. Curtis Shaper Bullseye will be flying out to Indianapolis and to check out, and he'll get to ride in a pace car with Ron Howard. And how cool is that? Or get to ride around with Opie Taylor. To me, that's pretty cool. But really, what happened, the story behind this, when local firefighters saved Troy native Curtis Shaver's life during a tragic farming accident, Shaver knew he had found his calling. Through the accident, claimed the lower part of his left leg, Shaver persevered, I cannot read today, and began a lifelong career as a firefighter and a certified EMT with a goal of giving back to the community in a special event today at Troy Fire Station Number 1 out in Alabama. So that's the race's name, the Crown Royal Curtis Shaver 400. And you know what? My hat's off to Crown Royal. What a fantastic opportunity. What a fantastic idea. It's not the first time they've done it. It's been very successful for them. And to me, guys, I'm ready to do a shot of Crown this morning if it wasn't so early. What are your thoughts on the new Curtis Shaver 400 out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Well, I like what they did. I read the story about Curtis, and I just think that this is a good PR move for Crown Royal. They did take a lot of flack leaving sponsorship of Kenseth and the other guys that they had been on cars for so many years, and then to go to sponsoring one race. I like the fact that they're not just saying, hey, it's the Crown Royal 400 at the Brickyard. They're actually doing something to show some that people are doing things, and I think that's good. And I also think it helps with the transition because, again, like I said, if you remember, they got a lot of flack for leaving car sponsorship just to cover one race. So I think that's great. Kudos to them, and kudos to the gentleman who is being named the hero and his town. They're getting some notoriety. Troy, Alabama, nice place. Been through there. Couldn't happen to a greater group of people down there. And then to him after hearing his story.
Absolutely. So, hey, you know, congratulations to him. And maybe they'll bring him through the media center. We'll have an opportunity to talk with him, and we'll see what we could do about maybe getting him on the show. We're going to definitely talk about that. Obviously, the big boys are up at Chicagoland, just a couple hours away here from Indianapolis. Theoretically, living in both markets, could go to both races, both weekends, if you really so desired to. So Chicagoland, obviously – I know we have to bring her up, but she's just a big marketing person. Danica makes her third her third nationwide series, obviously in the Chicagoland area. The big boys are up there in Chicagoland, and I know you told me 9:25, and you said I gotta always hold you to the clock, so I'm gonna let you finish with thoughts about Chicagoland.
Chicago is a great racetrack. Cliff and I, we've been attending races there now 4 years. It'd be nice to see if they get a second race. The only problem is that market, even though they're the number three in the nation, they don't seem to support it. I really personally wish that NASCAR would have gave the nationwide and truck race to Lucas Oil the weekend before, because one of the buzzes when they said they were taking it away last year was that, they were going to put them there and it would keep the nationwide trucks in town, saving the teams an average of $14,000. Because I didn't realize there was that much transport and other things that are involved in getting it to these events. But Chicago's still close enough that what they're doing is literally the A car that they're driving in Chicago is their primary, and their backup car is actually their Indianapolis car. So they're just basically going to go down the road, camp there, and put it up there. I still would like to see something go back to the short track there at Lucas Oil, but Chicago, not a bad second choice. Gives them two nationwide races to see if they can start building it up there. I know they've done different things. Let's add lights. One of the things they did in the past was, if you bought tickets for the nation or for the Sprint Cup, you had to buy every other ticket available, which was IRL and nationwide, and people didn't like that. They're like, hey, if I want to go to the Cup race, I want to go to the Cup race. They got rid of that, and I think that's helping them.
All right, Mr. Pete LaFuscia of Radio Speed Talk. Pete, I would say, where can we find you on social media? But we know the only place we can find
you
is on Facebook. But we also know that the rest of the guys have some Twitter. So real quickly, in a few seconds here, tell us, where can people find your work, your masterpieces? And we're standing by for Kyle Gimble, by the way, and you're more than welcome to hang out, but he's got a very important announcement. But go right ahead, Pete.
I'm at RadioSpeedTalk.com. If you're up in Sparta, Michigan later on today at the U.S. Lawnmower Racing Association Huntington's Disease Race, come out and see Cliff and I.
All right, Mr. Pete LaFuscia of Radio Speed Talk, joining us on The Balance every Saturday morning. He's one of the guys from Radio Speed Talk, always join us right at 9:05 to talk about racing. Hey, guys, stand by. We have got one of the up-and-coming top drivers from the Grand Am Series. He's going to be on the show next to talk to us a little bit about what's going on in his life. An announcement you won't want to miss right here on The Balance.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the number one sports talk show in the world. I know you guys are listening to us all over the United States and internationally as well, but so glad that you guys could join us on a Saturday morning. Take time out of your Saturday morning, drink your coffee, and talk racing and talk sports with us. We're really excited to have our next guest with us, Mr. Kyle Gimble of the Grand Am Series. And Kyle, it is good to have you on board. I know that we had you on before and you were in a big hurry, but Kyle, welcome back to The Balance. How's your Saturday doing today?
It's doing good. Great to be back on.
Well, Kyle, you know what? We've been teasing this, and what we want to do is just kind of turn the mic over to you. I know that there's some changes going on with you, and obviously you guys are going to be up here as part of the Crown Royal Speed Weekend with the big boys up here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You're going to be up here next weekend with the Grand Am Series. What's going to be different about you next weekend?
Well, I will actually be with a different team for Indianapolis and the race at Mazda Laguna Seca Raceway. I will be with CJ Wilson Racing in their 04 Mazda MX-5.
Well, there you have it, guys. Kyle Gimble making a team switch. Okay, so we need and he let us know here first on The Balance, and obviously letting you know Kyle Gimble is going to be switching teams. Kyle, tell us a little bit about how you came up with that decision. Obviously, a very big weekend, and you guys were out here testing just a few weeks ago. So a very big weekend next weekend. Was it timing, or was it? Does this particular race have anything to do with anything, or was this the right time to do it, or how's that going to affect you going into next weekend?
You know, it really isn't going to affect me whatsoever. It's a team, it's a car. It was a real big business decision to walk away from RSR. They were a great team, but from a business standpoint, CJ Wilson Racing is going to give me a better opportunity to excel professionally, and I'm looking forward to running with them. I've ran the MX-5 car before, and it's a great platform. So I think we're going to do well at Laguna for sure. Indianapolis is going to be, it's going to be a struggle. That straightaway is going to really hinder us. But the team did test at Indy last week, and it was really, really, really hot. And if it's really hot again, we might have a chance because the track's really slick, and that car handles really well on a slick track.
Well, and obviously, and you're also part of a very unique experience up here in Indianapolis, because it's the very first time that they've actually made a switcheroo in the track. Obviously, you guys will be on the road course. The NASCAR series will be on the typical oval. So they're actually going to make that transition for your race and then make that transition back to the oval. Do you think that that has any effect on you at all? Obviously, everybody knows Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and what an honor it is just to be there. When you were I was there for the testing, but when you were there for the testing and it was pretty much empty, what were your thoughts when you got in the car, you looked around, and you're like, this is Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I'm driving a race car on this racetrack. Wow. What were your thoughts?
Unfortunately, I couldn't make the test.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately I couldn't, but, you know, the team did go. They got good information for the race next week. So, you know, I have faith in the team that, you know, they're going to have the setup down, and so me and Mark will get in the car, and we'll go out, turn some laps, get ready for the race.
Okay. What do you think, what is the feedback that you're getting from your team? Obviously, this is the very first year that your series have been here at Indianapolis. You really don't have a lot of comparison things back to Indianapolis. Say, well, we did this last year. We're going to do this different in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is a different course. You've got to do this. And of course, obviously, there's a lot of data that Indianapolis Motor Speedway is able to provide any race series from the beginning. But you said your team went out there and tested. Obviously, they've tested the cars that you guys are going to be running with. What are some of the things they're feeding back to you at Indianapolis as opposed to any other track? This is what you have to do.
They haven't really said much of what you're supposed to do. They did describe the track a lot. You know, they said that the infield is very slick. There's not a lot of grip. It's more like an autocross on the infield, which is really going to help with the MX-5 in the cornering. And, you know, coming out of that last turn onto the straightaway is really going to hurt us because you're flat the entire time until you get to turn one. So that's really going to hurt us a lot unless we can get tucked up behind another car in the grass and just try to stick with them.
So let me ask you something here, and maybe a lot of our listeners want to know the same thing about the Grand Am Series. When we talk about the Mazda MX-5 team that you'll be with, and then we talk about the Grand Am Series, talk to us a little bit about the difference. Is there a difference? Is it the same? Are you guys on the track of the same? How does that work in comparison with each other?
I'm trying to say, what's the differences between the cars?
Yeah, what's the biggest difference between the car you were driving? I'm sorry, I didn't mean what's the biggest difference between the car you were driving and the car you're going to be driving? And what do you think is going to be your biggest challenges with the new team?
The difference between the car I was driving and the car I will be driving is the car I was driving was a front-wheel drive car. It was very, it wasn't nearly as aerodynamic and being a Mini Cooper. And really, I think the biggest part will be getting used to the team. I don't see a problem with that. I think that I'll get to know the team very quickly, and we won't have an issue there. You know, I've driven the MX-5 before. I know what to expect when I get in the car. So from the aspect of getting used to the car, it really won't be an issue. The biggest thing is getting used to the track and knowing the track and then trying to find braking points and stuff.
Now, here's the other thing, you know, that I've got to ask you this, just because we're an all-around sports fan, and I'm a big baseball fan. Tell you, you know, C.J. Wilson Racing, C.J. is obviously a pitcher with the Angel, and has known you for a long time, and you both are from Nevada. Talk to me about your relationship with C.J.
You know, when I started in Santa Barbara, that's where I really met C.J., and, you know, it's just, being the pitcher, you know, for someone in, you know, in racing, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's just, he's another person, you know, you talk to, you have fun with. And, you know, it's great to have, you know, a major league pitcher that shares the passion for racing that you do and owns a team and stuff like that.
Well, I am a huge Cardinal fan. And for this particular subject with CJ and the Angels and your relationship, has CJ said anything to you about Albert Pujols coming over to the Angels?
You know, I actually haven't talked to CJ at all. I've been mainly talking to Jason Saney and Mark Miller. CJ's been so busy with baseball that, I really haven't talked to him.
Okay. Well, we had to throw that in there. I tell you what, I always like to give an opportunity for our guests to just talk about whatever they want to talk about. I know something that's really, really big and dear to your heart, obviously, is Families for Hope. And we are always pleased to be able to help push that organization. What a fantastic organization that is. Obviously, we interact with their social media all the time. And I know you like to really lend your professional name to a great organization. So tell us a little bit about your association with Families of Hope and what that means to you.
What I do is, I have the Families for Hope logo on the car, and we have booths set up at the track during the race weekends. And, we try to bring awareness at the track about holoprosencephaly. And, it really dear to my heart, one of my younger cousins was diagnosed in 2000 and she passed away in 2004. She may not have been on this earth for a very long time, but for that short amount of time, she touched so many hearts. And, finding out about Families for Hope, and, now I'm on a circuit where I have media coverage, I can promote it. I decided to, go to Leslie and, say, this is what I would want to do. And, she got on board with it and agreed. And so, we're out there trying to promote it Grand Am weekends.
Well, what can our listeners do for Families of Hope this race weekend? Obviously, you guys are going to be here in Indianapolis. Tell us how they can, and we'll have their website up on our Twitter page and all of our social media. But how can people, and what do you want our listeners to do for Families of Hope? I mean, you want them to donate money? Do you want them to donate time, all the above?
Donating money to Families for Hope would be fantastic. They really, would like that. It's to help the families that have suffered with HPE. Donating money would be fantastic. Also, coming out to the race and supporting, the team, coming by the hauler, getting balloons, getting bracelets. Just coming out and watching the race would be fantastic as well.
Well, one thing for sure, we're going to absolutely be there, and we're looking forward to meeting you, Kyle, and your new team and really seeing you do well out at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Anything else you want to tell our listeners about what's going on with you, your Facebook, your Twitter, anything? Go ahead.
No, not really. Biggest thing is the team moving. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we appreciate you, honestly, and I really do appreciate you taking time to make that announcement. Again, Kyle Gimble of the Grand Am Series, obviously going to be up here in Indianapolis next week, made a big announcement. He's moving from RSR Motorsports to a new Mazda MX-5 with CJ Wilson Racing, and we're really excited for you, Kyle. I tell you what, you're one of those up-and-coming drivers that guys like me like to sit around and talk about and say, hey, that's a class act, and Kyle, you're a real class act, and we appreciate you taking time to be on the show today.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right, Kyle. Good luck to you, buddy.
All right, thank you.
Kyle Gimble, Grand Am driver, making the big announcement that he's making the switch from RSR Motorsports to the new Mazda MX-5 Team CJ Racing. I tell you what, that's huge. And we appreciate him to take the time here on The Balance to talk with us about his switch. And obviously coming up next weekend is the Indianapolis big weekend here in Indianapolis and an opportunity for him. Well, guys, we're gonna take a quick break. And when we get back, we're going to have Mr. Scott Smith of Lucas Oil Raceway. That's right. Y'all know him. Well, maybe you don't know him personally, but I'll tell you what, he's a great guy to talk to about what's going on there at Lucas Oil Raceway. Of course, those of you that know about the Indianapolis area and what's going on there, then you know absolutely that NASCAR's not going to be there. That's a sore spot for a lot of people. And when you're a PR guy like Scott Smith, well, you got a lot to say. So we hope we're going to be talking with him here in just a few moments, guys. We got to take a break. You're listening to The Balance on Saturday morning, my minions.
Fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Speed Talk.
Speed Talk who? Really, Pete? You're going to seriously make us do this?
Speed Talk is all new this week with Scott Smith talking about the upcoming ARCA race at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Check out what the crew thinks about the race at New Hampshire. Where does Matt Kenseth land in 2013 and Bob Osborne's departure from the 99 team?
And I take a question from a listener in Tightwad, Missouri, and Cliff goes off on NASCAR's handling of A.J. Allmendinger's drug test.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the fan revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. IndyProSports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Here we go again.
The best hits. Best hits. And the biggest variety.
Biggest variety.
I want it. I need it. And I'm going to have it.
There's no other station like it on the planet. WROM. RealmsOfMusic.com. Playing tomorrow's hottest artist today.
All right, my minions, welcome back to the number one sports talk show on Saturday morning. It does not get any better than this. And I tell you what, I'm so glad that you could join us. And so glad that Kyle Gimble took time out of his busy day to make that big announcement for us and made the worldwide announcement right here on The Balance. No, he hadn't talked to any other media and made that announcement before he made it to us. Obviously, 1 week before the Grand Am Series here in Indianapolis, Grand Am driver Kyle Gimble talks with us about making a move from RSR Motorsports to the new Mazda MX-5 Team CJ Wilson Racing, and obviously that's a big change, especially coming up here to Indianapolis. Well, as we move on down the road here, no stranger to the show, hasn't been on since last year, but we're so glad that he's with us, Mr. Scott Smith of Lucas Oil Raceway. My friend, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys this morning?
We are fantastic, Scott. It is good to finally have you back on the air with you. I know you've been busier than a fat chick on a lazy dog, but I appreciate you taking some time to get with us. So let's just jump right into it today. Obviously, we got a big hole out there, and I know you guys have filled it with the ARCA series. That's fantastic, by the way. But what I want to know is, let's talk about that. From a PR standpoint, It wasn't a very popular move. I don't think it was one that Lucas really wanted. I don't think it was one that you guys wanted. I think that you guys were really happy and content with having the Nationwide Series there. They've made the decision to move up to IMS and put three races, obviously the Sprint Cup, the Nationwide, and the Grand Am Series up at IMS, which is, in many cases and many times, you guys have been pushed aside like the redheaded stepchild. And I know you felt like that, and I think this show, along with a lot of other fans, were totally miffed about that decision that was made. But tell me about it from your point of view, and what went on with that? What caused all that? What have you guys done to rebound, and what are your thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of what happened, and you know, you talk about the fan support and the fan reaction, and you know, one of the things that we did last year was just, you know, going into that last race, was we just let the racing, you know, and the fans speak for themselves. And, you know, yeah, you saw on Twitter and Facebook and all the comments and, you know, just people upset about it leaving. And we were disappointed as well. It was obviously you build 30 years of history with a race and a series and all the, you know, time and effort that people at the facility put into it. But, IMS and NASCAR made that decision, and from there we just, you know, went on and put on a great race last year, and that's what we're going to do again this year with the ARCA coming and USAC series coming, is still put on a tremendous race, because, you know, we could have a first-time race fan come out there. We could have somebody that, you know, has never been to an ARCA race or a USAC race, and they don't, you know, they might not know the history of what happened, so... You know, we just, you know, obviously always put our best foot forward, and are looking forward to a good weekend coming up next weekend.
Well, you know what, we're going to be there for sure. We were there last year for the last Nationwide race. And, you know, what we hear on our social media and over at Indy Pro Sports and so forth, there's a lot of fans that are going to boycott IMS and make their way over to Lucas as a sign of protest. So I hope that you guys actually benefit from it. I think Nationwide has plenty of fans and stuff that if one week that people boycott the Nationwide race and head on over to Lucas, I don't think anybody's feelings are going to be too greatly hurt. Danica or something, but anyway. So, all right, so we have the Speed Fest that'll take place July 26th to the 27th. Obviously, it'll feature the ARCA series and the USAC midgets and the Silver Crown. Obviously, those guys aren't going anywhere. Good friends of the track there. And I love the guys out there at USAC and what's going on there. So you've got the ARCA races and you got the Speedway you got the Speed Fest as well, July 26th through 27th, which is obviously this very next week. Talk to us about those series and what's going on with those.
Well, obviously, like you said, USAC's been a great partner of ours since the inception of the facility. So it's really good to be able to see those, you know, young and upcoming drivers come through. And veterans as well. Tracy Hines winning the night before the 500 race, and you know he'll be coming out again. And then in Silver Crown, you get the Cody and Tanner Swansons and Bobby East and all those guys that are still trying to make a name for themselves in racing. So they always put on a tremendous show and have a lot of great activities planned for that. And then ARCA, same thing. It's, a lot of these younger drivers, Brendan Poole, Eric Jones, that are just starting to make their way up through the ranks and they're trying to get as much seat time as possible and learn these, tricky tracks. Some of the drivers come out and said, well, I've never raced out here, but I played it a lot on PlayStation 2, so I hope I've got it figured out. And I'm here to tell you that the track's a little bit different in real life as opposed to a video game, so it'll be fun to watch them learn how to get around it.
Well, we're talking with Scott Smith of Lucas Oil Raceway. Now, obviously, coming up a little bit later on in the year is the NHRA series as well. So that's all going to be going on there. So what I want to talk with you about is the new ARCA series that are there. What kind of race, especially those that aren't familiar with ARCA? I think it's a great race series, actually. But those that aren't familiar with the ARCA series, what can they expect at Lucas Oil? Obviously, that's going to be your feature this weekend, this coming up next weekend, I'm sorry. So tell us about the ARCA series and what's going on with them.
Well, ARCA is a stock car series based out of the Midwest, and it's a great learning series for, you know, like I said, some of these younger up-and-coming drivers, you know, like I said, the Brendan Pools and Eric Jones that are, you know, just starting to make their way into stock cars. It's, you know, they've got to learn a lot of car control. It's probably, you know, one of the heavier cars that they've raced so far in their career, and trying to get around tracks. And the series races, you know, at our place and Toledo Speedway, but they're also at Daytona. So they, you know, definitely traverse the country. And you have some, you know, long-time racers, Frank Kimmel, that'll be racing out there that, you know, is definitely, when a lot of people think of ARCA, they definitely think of him. And it's just a great series, and it'll be a great, having USAC and ARCA out there, it'll be a great way to see, you know, a lot of the new up-and-coming drivers as they start to learn. So if you want to see some, you know, good young talent, it's two nights of great racing to do that.
Well, and also we've known just from hanging out there at Lucas, they don't really make it a big announcement of part of their agenda, but while they're in town, Tony Stewart, Ryan Newman, they obviously own Silver Crown Cars. Chances are they might be walking around the track too as well. Is that correct?
Walking or racing, yeah. I was going through some photos last year of, you know, pulling out some stuff, and a lot of photos of you know, Tony working on a handful of his cars. Ryan Newman raced in it. So, it's something that these guys, you know, they love to do. Obviously, Ryan and Tony being from the area. We've had Carl Edwards racing it in the past, and it's something fun that they love to do. And you're right, they don't really publicize it because, you know, at a certain point, they just want to be able to kind of get away and quote-unquote relax as they're, you know, trying to muscle these big Silver Crown cars around the track. But it's always, you know, it's a fun event for them to take part in.
Well, let me ask you this. Will we have a sighting of one young rookie Indy 500 car driver for Sarah Fisher?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if Sarah's going to be out there. I don't know if she, you know, I know she's got some contacts, you know, with some of the racers out there, but not sure if she'll be out there this weekend or not.
Well, you never know. And, of course, obviously, one of her rookie drivers was no stranger to driving out there at Lucas either. So you never know.
Yeah. That's why it's a fun event. It's always cool to see see who comes, you know, cruising through the gates when you walk the pits,
right.
You know, kind of bumping into people and running into people. So it's definitely one of the neat aspects of it.
I love Lucas Oil because that's exactly you nailed it exactly right when you bump into people, because the track is not IMS. It is just a good old fashioned Midwestern Indiana track that is small. You can see from one end of it to the other. There's no bad seat in the house. You've got the lawn, you've got the bleachers. Tell us a little bit about the fan experience out there.
Well, very much so, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that we think, you know, people really enjoyed, you know, with the Nationwide Series, you know, for the past 30 years, was that, you know, 10, 12 rows up, you can see around the entire facility. And, you know, 12 rows up was a fairly inexpensive ticket, so you could, you know, see the entire track. So if you're up, you know, 20 rows up and you're watching a great battle taking place, you know, in turns one and two, and there's a wreck on the backstretch, well, you can see that. You can see all of it. You can, you know, feel and smell and get all those sensory aspects of the cars as they go around the track. And it's just, it's a great environment. And you said about the lawn, I'm a Danville born and raised kid with family in Brownsburg. And, you know, my family, we grew up out there playing on the lawns and bringing in, you can bring in your own food and drinks. Yeah, we'd love to be able to sell you a hot dog, but you can, you know, to make it affordable, you can bring in your food and drinks, adult beverages included, and, you know, camp out there on the lawn. And that's always a neat thing to watch as a staff is when we open the gates, people come running across from the campgrounds, from the different parking lots to be able to secure their seat on the lawn.
And absolutely, and unlike IMS, where you've got, you know, the third turn or the infield or the snake pit, it's a big party, but it's also very family friendly as well. And I know that I have never seen any issues with the combination of good race fans with people who don't know how to call it a day, if you know what I mean. So I you guys are do a great job out there, and obviously Lucas Oil Raceway, you got another track just right behind there, same place, same location for the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals. Great time of the year. Obviously John Force Racing and all those guys will be out there. John Force has been on this show as well, and Lucas was the first event at Lucas Oil Raceway was held on a drag strip back in 1960, as a matter of fact. So tell us a little bit about the Mack Tools U.S. Nationals. Obviously, that's your moneymaker of the year. Tell us a little bit about that and what's going on with that.
Yeah, that definitely is a great event. You know, for listeners that don't know and don't quite realize, the U.S. Nationals is the, you know, it's the Super Bowl of drag racing. It's the Wimbledon. It's the World Cup. It's the Olympics. It's the pinnacle for these drag racers. And especially now more so because a lot of the teams are based in Brownsburg. So you get people that, you know, can come to the races for the race teams, and the drivers and crew can perform in front of, you know, family, friends, you know, neighbors, you know, if they live in Brownsburg in different subdivisions, and can perform in front of them. So that's always, you know, a great weekend with eliminations taking place on Monday. And new for this year is the Traxxas Shootout. It'll be two separate specialty races, and we'll have eight top fuelers and eight top funny car racers will be racing for some of that Traxxas money that they've put up, $100,000 to win. And that's going to be, you know, that'll add a little bit of a added pressure and you know, nail biting that these teams will have to not only qualify for the big show on Monday, but also be battling out for a large chunk of change on Saturday and Sunday.
All right. Well, Mr. Scott Smith of Lucas Oil Raceway, appreciate you taking time. I always like to give the last few seconds to the guests. Is there anything that we forgot to mention, your social media, anything that we forgot to ask you that you'd like for our listeners to know about?
Yeah, like I said, social media is probably the big thing right now. We are on Facebook and on Twitter. We're at Lucas Oil Raceway. We've been doing some great chats with a lot of the ARCA drivers and some of the USAC guys. And, you know, that's been a kind of a cool thing to do this year is get to know some of these younger drivers and interact with them. They're obviously very tuned in to what's going on. And even, you know, with people with their phones now, if you're somewhere on grounds and you see something you don't like or see something that you need help with, they can hit us up on Twitter. We do monitor that during events. So if, you know, toilets overflowing or, you know, something like that, they can hit us up on Twitter and we'll make sure we get it taken care of. And we'll look to do some driver chats for the Nationals coming up as well. So definitely we're using Twitter as much as we can.
All right. Mr. Scott Smith of Lucas Oil Raceway. Scott, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week out there for the Speed Fest.
That'll work. I will be there.
All righty. Mr. Scott Smith of Lucas Oil Raceway joining us. I tell you what, he has been so busy. Obviously, a big disappointment for them out there at Lucas Oil, losing the NASCAR series. But they gained the ARCA, and you know what? They still got Mack, and they still got Uncle Mack taking part of that out there as well. Well, guys, I tell you what, we're going to shift gears coming up here in the next hour. Is coming up right up here at the top of the hour, actually, is one of my favorite guests to have on, I will admit, and he's no stranger here to the balance, and that's Mr. Rich Nye, the sports guy. We're going to be talking about the new Andrew Luck contract, and as you know, we had him on just a few weeks ago. We're talking about it. We're going to get him signed. Well, we got him signed, I wish it was Andrew Luck. Mr. Rich Nye will be right with us. Stand by. This is The Balance, my minions. Don't go anywhere.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Speed Talk.
Speed Talk who? Really, Pete? You're going to seriously make us do this?
Speed Talk is all new this week with Scott Smith talking about the upcoming ARCA race at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Check out what the crew thinks about the race at New Hampshire, where does Matt Kenseth land in 2013, and Bob Osborne's departure from the 99 team.
And I take a question from a listener in Tightwad, Missouri, and Cliff goes off on NASCAR's handling of A.J. Allmendinger's drug test.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports. All right, my minions, welcome back to the number one sports talk show on Saturday morning. My name's Saul Mark Wazell, Presidente. I tell you what a great first hour it was, Mr. Pete LaFuse of Radio Speed Talk, talking to us about everything that's going on with racing and obviously the ability with NASCAR to continue their sponsorships with the military. And then 9:30, we had one of the drivers from the Grand Am Series, Mr. Kyle Gimble, come on and make his worldwide announcement right here on The Balance. He didn't share that with any other media or press releases until he came on and gave it to us, and we were the first one to share it. Obviously, the Grand Am Series is going to be up here in Indianapolis next weekend for the very first time, so he wanted to take this opportunity to make the announcement that he was moving from RSR Motorsports to the new Mazda MX-5 team with C.J. Wilson Racing. And yes, guys, that's exactly the same C.J. Wilson for the pitchers with the Angels, and apparently he's also known Kyle for a very long time. So it was good to have him on and give that announcement that he's making that change, especially 1 week before they come up here to Indianapolis. Scott Smith from Lucas Oil Raceway talking to us about the ARCA Raceway Silver Crown Series and, of course, the Mack Tool Nationals that are coming up. But no stranger to the show now is Mr. Rich Nye, the sports guy of WTHR Sports in Indianapolis. We're going to talk a little, make a little shift in gears, and we're going to talk about Andrew Luck and the signing of Andrew Luck. Mr. Rich Nye, so glad that you could take time to join us again.
Happy Saturday morning.
Hey, man, it is happy, and it's not near as hot as the last time we talked.
Well, it's actually rained at my house this week, which is something I hadn't seen in a long, long time. In fact, I don't think I've mowed my yard since the race, and I'm talking about the Indy 500, and I think I might actually have to do it today.
That's crazy. You know, I was outside walking across the lawn just the other day, and I heard this crunchy sound. It reminded me of fall. It was really weird. And here in Indianapolis, obviously, of course, we're a national show, so, I mean, everybody doesn't have the same water ban. But here in our local market, no water. and no water at all. And you can't be watering the lawns or anything, but it is good that we're finally getting back to normal. Speaking of getting back to normal, Indianapolis Colts finally signed a deal just a few days after RG3. Was that by design, or were they waiting to see what RG3 did before they made their deal? And really help us break that down. Obviously, we've heard some of the reports coming from the Indianapolis Star, $14.5 million guaranteed, $20 million over the next 4 years with that five-year option. So really, we kind of have him for 5 years. So walk us through the contract, what they came up with, and was the timing was it timing or was it just business as usual? RG3 had nothing to do with the announcement of Luck.
Oh, no, I think RG3 had something to do with the announcement of Luck. Usually these things happen in reverse order. If you look at the Colts draft picks this year, they pretty much signed their picks in reverse order. And that's the way it happens in the overall draft as well, for the most part. And the reason is that these agents all want to one-up the next guy. And if you're the third pick in the draft, you want to make more money than the fourth pick in the draft. Now, that can vary a little bit because quarterbacks tend to make a little bit more money than other positions. But when you've got two quarterbacks at the top of the draft, and Griffin III and Andrew Luck does not want to have his contract signed and then 2 days later find out that RG3 got a little bit more money. So I do think there was probably – I think most of the deal was probably done. the parameters were set in place. But I do think they were probably waiting for Robert Griffin's deal to be announced to double-check those numbers. And then, you know, Will Wilson, Andrew Luck's agent, made sure that Andrew was just getting just a little bit more. As it turns out, he gets $1 million more over the course of the four-year deal. And I would mention and point out that this is a actually guaranteed contract. So not just the bonus is guaranteed, but the entire 4 years, $22.1 million, is guaranteed. And that's sort of the one thing that has changed for rookies in the NFL is a guy like Luck at least gets a guaranteed deal, even though he's getting much less money than top picks at the draft were getting just a few years ago. I think probably the most remarkable perspective on this Andrew Luck deal is that he gets 4 years, $22.1 million in 2012. In 1998, 14 years ago, Peyton Manning got $48 million for 6 years with an $11.6 million signing bonus. So Peyton's, though his signing bonus was smaller, overall the deal was much more lucrative. And per season, it was more lucrative for Manning, and that doesn't even account for 14 years of inflation. So that tells you how the NFL was completely out of whack and overpaying rookies at the top of the draft, and how they've reined that in this latest collective bargaining agreement that was agreed to a year ago to bring these rookie salaries back under control to where you actually have to perform and earn your money before you get it in the NFL. Not that Andrew Luck is hurting at 4 years, $22.1 million.
Absolutely, and you're right. You bring up a very good point. The most recent NFL collective bargaining agreement doesn't give them a lot of wiggle room at all in the rookie contracts. And again, as I alluded to a while ago, and WGHR does a fine job, a fantastic job, but the Indianapolis Star, Mike Chappell, and Phil Richards have somehow knows the figures and nobody else does. So we'll just kind of use the numbers that they're throwing around, that it's worth around $22 million. And I guess this should really kind of come in close contrast with last year's number one pick, Cam Newton, with the Panthers. So I guess maybe a lot of the anxiety, and let's face it, we lost Peyton Manning. We've got the approaching Colts training camp, and I don't know if Luck has been practicing since his graduation or not. And there hasn't been much public appearance by Andrew Luck. They've kind of kept him under wraps there. So I think a lot of people were just worried, is this thing going to happen? And of course, you told us that it was, and we were getting the figures from Indianapolis Star. But also, I mean, especially a guy with the connections that you have could tell us that those are pretty realistic figures that the Star is releasing. Do you have the details of the contract? I guess I'll word it that way.
Well, I haven't seen the contract, I'll put it that way, but I know that not just the Indianapolis Star, but Associated Press has confirmed the numbers on a four-year, $22.1 million deal. Those numbers have been confirmed. And you do know, under this new collective bargaining agreement, about where the deal has to shake out. You can only pay, you know, your rookies a total amount of money in a certain pool, and basically it's like the NBA. In the NBA, it's so slotted out that you can basically tell a guy what he's going to be making the day he's drafted based on what position he's drafted at. And the NFL has become almost that way with its slotted draft picks, and that's why everyone was saying, well, he's a quarterback, he was the number one pick, so as a quarterback and the number one pick, his deal will basically be very, very similar to Cam Newton's deal a year ago. And so when the numbers can't really be finagled that much, the negotiating points become other smaller, minor details. And I don't know, again, that it was ever really being held up. It's just that things take time, and nobody gets things done in any of our lives until there's a deadline in front of us. And I do think that you had to wait until Robert Griffin III signed his deal, because, again, Andrew Luck wants to get more, and Andrew Luck's agent, probably more specifically, wants to get more for his client than the number two pick gets. So you've got got to see what he gets before you can finalize what your guy's going to get. And that all just takes time. But given the way the structure is set up now, it has taken a lot of the negotiating, the figures out of it, and you know what your guy's going to get. And that's why we don't see the rookie holdouts that we used to see, which, by the way, Peyton Manning missed the first couple of days of training camp back in 1998, and that's not going to happen with Andrew Luck. In fact, he'll not only be in Anderson next Saturday, but he'll be out at the Colts complex starting on Wednesday for a three-day rookie camp.
Well, it's time to get down to work, and I also want to talk about your recent story on WTHR that talks about Fleener and Allen are the only Colts of the 2012 draft picks yet to sign a contract. So I guess, we just got all worked up about Luck and forgot about all the other Colt players. But you did a good job of pointing that out. Anything else you want to point out on that story or anything else about Andrew Luck? Because I know that we have you for a limited time as well today, and we really appreciate you taking time to talk to us about that, and we'll obviously we'll have you back on throughout the Colts season. But is there anything else you want to talk to us about what you're covering there on WTHR and the Colts and training camp and what goes forward from here?
Well, I just would say that, obviously you've got two rookie tight ends who are still unsigned, and I think those deals will probably happen here within the next couple of days. I'd be surprised if both of those guys aren't in training camp as well next Saturday. I just think the way the system is now set up, that these guys pretty much know what they're going to make. And I was a little bit surprised, actually, that the Luck deal got done before those two guys. But I think both of them will be in a camp, and I think they're both going to be essential to what the Colts do this season. Because as Colts fans know, everybody at the tight end position that they knew and loved is gone. Dallas Clark is gone. Jacob Tammy is gone. The Colts don't have an experienced tight end on their roster who has caught considerable passes in the NFL. And so these two guys are high draft picks who are going to be expected to come in and play right away. The Colts have made it clear that they will run some two tight end offense. And so I expect to see both these guys on the field together quite a bit this season. So Kobe Fleener obviously will be very comfortable with Andrew Luck. He's been catching passes with him for years out at Stanford. And Dwayne Allen is a very accomplished tight end out of Clemson. And I think both these guys need to get to camp and will be at camp and will be a crucial part of the Colts offense starting this season.
Well, Rich Nye, the sports guy from WTHR, talking to us about the new signed rookie of the Indianapolis Colts. Rich, where will the Colts end up this year? Season-wise, record-wise?
I would like to see them and try to believe that. I never make my final prediction until the preseason is over. That way I have some idea of who's playing what positions and at least where they're at going into the season. But today, if you're asking me for a hard number, I would say 5 wins would be a great season. I think five wins would be a great season for this team.
I couldn't agree with you more. I was somewhere around 6, but normally, Rich, I wait until the end of the regular season to give my prediction. So,
that helps a lot.
All right, Mr. Rich Nye, where can people find your work and your masterpieces at, sir?
Well, in Indianapolis, of course, you can watch me first and foremost on WTHR Channel 13, home of the London Olympics, I might mention. If you've been watching our air, there's no way you could have missed that, which will open next Friday with the opening ceremonies. What a big weekend next weekend is with the Olympics opening, the Super Weekend out at the Brickyard, and then, of course, Colts training camp. You can also follow me on Twitter. The handle is thesportsguy13. Or I would love for you to like my Facebook page, Rich Nye, the Sports Guy, WTHR, on Facebook.
All right, Rich. We'll talk to you later. Don't be a stranger throughout the season.
All right. Call anytime.
All right. Mr. Rich Nye of WTHR Sports, Rich Nye, the sports guy, talking to us about the new contract with Andrew Luck, guys. We got to take a break, and right around the corner, that's right, as promised, we are jumping in the boxing ring with Mr. Jay Graves. Holler at your boy of jgravesreport.com. Guys, stand by, because you know what? It's just now getting good. You thought it was good already? It's getting better.
Get up and come on, get down with the sickness.
knock.
Who's there?
Speed Talk.
Speed Talk who? Really, Pete? You're going to seriously make us do this?
Speed Talk is all new this week with Scott Smith talking about the upcoming ARCA race at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Check out what the crew thinks about the race at New Hampshire. Where does Matt Kenseth land in 2013? And Bob Osborne's departure from the 99 team.
And I take a question from a listener in Tightwad, Missouri. And Cliff goes off on NASCAR's handling of A.J. Allmendinger's drug test.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Over the course of history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. Marge Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
All right, my minions, welcome back, welcome back. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is Saturday morning. I hope you are pumped up and ready to go because it is time for the hot joint of the week with Mr. Jay Graves of the jgravesreport.com. Mr. Jay Graves, how about you, boy? Are you with me, Jay? Jay?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, buddy?
What's up, brother? I thought you were pulling a $2 bill just there for a moment.
No, man, I had it on mute. I didn't
welcome
want
back, brother.
What's going on, brother? How at your boy?
How at your boy? All right. I'm enjoying the week.
Hello? You're breaking up real bad.
It isn't me breaking up. You're breaking up.
Hey, man, I'm here clean as a whistle. So what's going on, man? Hey, the hot joint of the week this week is all about Joe Pa and the statue. And you know what? Before we end, I'm going to have you thinking like I'm thinking again today.
We'll see. Hot joint of the week.
The hot joint of the week this week is a joint called the sore finger, and what I mean by this in the sore finger, I broke it down. I said, look here, man, I'm tired of everybody talking about Joe Pa having a lapse in judgment. You know, a lapse in judgment is, first of all, is when a guy gets into the car with some guys that he knows in the shady to go to a party. And they pull over on the side of the road and say, hey, we're going into the liquor store to buy something. When all the time they're in there robbing the joint, and the guy in the car doesn't even know what's going on. And he ends up in jail for 3 to 5 because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. That's a lapse in judgment. When your boy has been molesting children for 30 years, that's not a lapse in judgment. That's called an accessory to the crime.
I agree, and I don't know why I agree with you just yet, but go ahead and continue on, because here's the thing. What I am saying is that I think a lot of people, what we don't know, and this is what we don't know how much Jupiter covered up. That's why he got fired. We already knew there were certain things that he maybe buried his head in the sand about. But we don't know. What we do not know is, if I can even go back to 2011, that there was rumors that the Penn State would be taking down the Joe Paterno statue in front of Beaver Stadium there, in lieu of everything. Now, I like the aspect that I like the idea of, hey, let's add a statue of him hold, another statue of him holding a kid's hand, or I don't know, something to honor the victims. I'm all about that. But I'm not about taking down the statue. And the reason why I say that is because bringing it down doesn't do anything for anybody. And what it does, I think it's an important part of the history. What we want to look at is, if there was a statue of Sandusky out there, yes, take it down, burn it, melt it, make it into pennies for all I care. But for Joe Paul, his legend and legacy goes much deeper than that. And I think what happened was, and this is why I think I agree with you, is
You won't agree with me for very long, because I believe that the statue should go down. But you tell me why you should keep it up, and I'll tell you why it should go down.
Well, here's exactly why you should keep it up. Because, first of all, the fans built that legacy out there. Okay? It's like Notre Dame, okay? We don't know what Joe Paul covered up, if he covered up anything. Maybe there may have been some information that was brought to him that he ignored. We already knew that to be fact. But they've not came out with information that says, blatantly, here's the evidence, Joe, Sandusky's in there raping boys, and he's saying, well, I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. Let's play some football. That doesn't matter. I don't think he said that. I think he turned his head. I think he didn't want people talking to him. He may have even went as far as to say, guys, hey, I really don't want to know any more about this. And that was wrong.
Look here, man. You're stretching. Here's the deal. The statue should go down simply because, obviously, I understand what you're saying is that when the statue came up, it meant something completely different. But at this point, the statue represents something that it wasn't meant to represent when you first put it up. You know, the first thing people are going to think about when they see the statue of Joe Paterno is this entire scandal that surrounded this program. Because let's keep it real, all the way 100. Everybody understands that Joe Pa publicly gave us one impression of a person, but privately he was selfish, self-centered, and was an evil monster in the sense that if you know your boy is a pedophile, you can't cover it up. If you even have the stomach to cover it up, then you are just as guilty as the guy doing it. I mean, let's keep it real. I've been saying for the past 10 years that Joe Pa should have been fired. And the reason I say he should have been fired is because they hadn't beaten a top five team in over 12 years. Joe Pa wasn't even involved in the game planning. I mean, obviously, the head coach has a staff that does all of that work. But Joe Pa couldn't even understand the briefings that the doggone staff was giving him for the game plan. When you are that out of touch with reality, that out of touch with what's going on in your football program from a day-to-day standpoint, you don't need to be coaching. And why are we continuing to call this guy the winningest in some people's minds, the best head coach ever, when he coached for 46 years and won 409 games? When you break that down, that's like winning 8 games a year. That's like Joe Tiller being at Purdue for 46 years. At the end of his reign of 46 years, is he the best coach or is he just the oldest coach? This guy won 2 national championships in a span of 46 years. That's horrible. There are guys out here that have won 2 national championships in 3 years, a la Urban Meyer. You can go to Steve, Nick Saban has won 3 national championships at 2 schools in 8 years. Why are we even talking about Joe Pa? This guy just coached longer than anybody else. He wasn't a great coach. He won 2 national championships in 46 years, bro. Take the statue down. I always say that the people at Penn State, the Penn State faithful, the fans, they are as much as to blame as everybody else, because if the guy would have been fired 10, 11 years ago when nobody had the gall to fire him, then we would have seen Sandusky go on trial as a former Penn State coach, and Penn State would have been off the hook because nobody would have been talking about this guy in 2001 raping some kid in the football facility, because the new head coach would have come in and say, who is this guy that keeps coming around the football facility with kids? And if someone said, oh, that's Joe Pye's boy, he said, well, tell you what, I don't want that guy anywhere near my facility. He doesn't have carte blanche anymore because I'm the new sheriff in town, and that looks shady. At that point, Penn State would have been off the hook for whatever Sandusky did during his reign at Penn State, because he was no longer affiliated with the program. Tell your boy that he's right and we can move on.
Well, here's the thing. No, I from the aspects of should he been fired a long time ago, he wasn't, you know, by record he should have been fired, this, that, or the other. Maybe that's the case, but bottom line is Penn State loved him. Penn State loved him no matter what kind of record he was having.
And that was the problem. The fact that they loved him so much, they allowed him to run recluse on campus and run everything with having the bad judgment, so they say, that he had. If you can't let someone be in charge that has a reputation of having a lapse in judgment, so when you do that, everybody's to blame, because you knew the guy had a lapse in judgment. You knew he wasn't working with the right marbles at the time. And now you got this situation blow up in your face, and you want to blame everybody else. The fans, the administrators, everybody's involved, because you cannot say that this guy was acceptable when you are supposed to be a top 10 program and you haven't beat a top 5 team in 12 years.
Well, here's the thing, and we're talking with Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. It's the hot joint of the week, and this really is the hot discussion. Should the Joe Paul statue come down, or should it stay up? Also, I know we're joining us now is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, you got some feedback. Turn down your radio. Josh, are you with us? Josh. Well, we'll try to get Josh back on. I know that he had talked about it. But, yeah, certainly should the Joe Paul statue go down? I don't know. Here's where I look at it. Yes, I think that Joe Paul had a very bad part in the role of cover-up. If there was a cover-up, indeed, I think maybe he ignored information, had his head in the sand, certainly not worthy to keep his job. The reason why I say the statue should remain is for the very reason that it's for historical purposes. Let's leave the statue in place. Let's say, okay, let's add a plaque, let's add a child to the victims of this. If you even want to taint his image even more, put on the lifeline plaque, say, hey, this man, we believe, covered up, blah, blah. I don't know. The thing is, I think it becomes an historical item. I think it becomes a memory stake. Now, if it was one of my boys, chances are I'd say burn it. Tear it down, burn it. Well, let's look at what happened in Baghdad. I mean, obviously, Saddam's statue come down. So that obviously has some meaning and some closure. So from that aspect, I agree. Maybe it should come down. Maybe it should come down and they erect another statue. But the point of that statue being there is what he brought to the Penn State organization, which was more than just wins. If you look at his football career, now, Sandusky, that's a completely different picture. And unfortunately, they're married together. The one name is synonymous with the other. And so, really, maybe you're right in the aspect that should come down. But to call him a monster, maybe that's a bit of a stretch, but maybe that's just emotions. I don't know that he was actually involved in any actual crime itself. They never found that he did anything criminal. What they did find out, he did a lot. He could have done a lot more. And I'm like,
hey, let's keep it real, Tom El Presidente. If you know about the guy raping some kid down the street and you do nothing about it, you just as guilty as the guy doing the crime, bro. It's one of those situations where you can't knowingly ignore someone being abused and taking advantage of. We're not talking about two people in a domestic dispute, and the woman or the man continues to go back to the abuse. We're talking about an innocent child here,
right?
And so
I agree.
When we start, and then let's keep this real. They took the Heisman Trophy of O.J. Simpson out of Heritage Hall because the Heisman Trophy no longer represented being the best player in college football as it relates to O.J. Simpson at USC. Because he's now the person that, you know, that went through the murder trial, even though he was acquitted, everybody thought he was guilty. All the stuff he's done, it no longer represents the same thing. So in that regard, you have to look at it from a sense that this is a college campus where a lot of parents send their children, and when I send my child to a school, I don't want my child in any danger. And that is a situation where at that place on campus, there are people that are for and are people that are against that statue being put up. It is a place of anguish and it is a place of conflict. So it could easily erupt into a bad situation with kids protesting for and against. It's almost safer to remove it simply because you don't want further problems to happen on campus as a result of this statue being there.
Well, and I agree, and we've run about out of time here. But one thing I would want to make a final point on this, and guys, it's certainly you can go to jgravesreport.com and leave your comments there, and you can leave your comments on our Twitter or Facebook about the Joe Paul situation. And I was mistaken; it was Miles of Banff Magazine, our new sponsor for the Fantasy Football Huddle, and he is standing by with this. Real quick, Miles, real quickly before we get into fantasy football, did you have anything you wanted to say about Joe Paul?
No. I'm not sure I
want to
know this conversation.
All right. Well, so really, here's my final point. We'll have to make this the final word. I tell you what. Here's the thing. When you look at it, and this is all I'm looking at, am I saying that no? I'm absolutely on your side from the heinous crime that happened. I am absolutely 100% on your side. It is a tragedy and absolutely disgusting tragedy. So when we look at it just strictly from that angle, the statue should come down. But what I'm saying, this has to be the final point. 62 years of good and millions of dollars and thousands of success stories are indeed tainted by the inaction of the upper level administration to whom Joe reported the McQuarrie's sighting. But not all is gone, and the statue should not be gone either, unless they would like to repay the entire family for all the millions that he gave to the school. If I was the alumni, my money would go to another cause. No Joe, no dough. That's the way I would say it. So there you go, Mr. Jay Graves of the Jay Graves Report. Jay, any final comments, any final thoughts before we let you go?
Last thing I want to say is every week, man, you are becoming more and more like-minded to the JJ.
You
got to
quit picking topics that you know I'll agree with. You're setting me up, my friend.
Hey, and you guys can check out the blog. Go to thejgravesreport.com and check out the new hot joint today, the sore finger, as we discuss Joe Pye and the situation. I would love to hear what your comments are. Write them down. Give them to them. And then you can also keep up with me on Twitter at Jay Graves Report and holla at your boy.
All right, holla at your boy, Mr. Jay Graves of the JayGravesReport.com. As we know, Mr. Miles Fort standing by for the brand new Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. And I tell you what, it's going to be good times. Good times, because I tell you what, man, if you guys have not checked out Banff Magazine, you've got to do that. We'll certainly get into that here in just a moment with Miles, and we're going to get into some fantasy football talk, because it is the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. We'll be right back right here on The Balance, guys. You don't want to miss what's coming around the corner. Come on. history, there have been many great revolutions. The French Revolution, the American Revolution, the Cuban Revolution, and now in 2012, there's a brand new revolution for the Fan Revolution, IndyProSports.com. That's IndyProSports.com. Indy Pro Sports is for the serious Indiana fan who roots for the Colts, the Pacers, the Indians, and so much more. Make sure you check out IndyProSports.com. Be a part of the revolution on Twitter, Pro Indy, and on Facebook, Indy Pro Sports.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Speed Talk.
Speed Talk who? Really, Pete? You're going to seriously make us do this?
Speed Talk is all new this week with Scott Smith talking about the upcoming ARCA race at Lucas Oil Raceway.
Check out what the crew thinks about the race in New Hampshire, where does Matt Kenseth land in 2013, and Bob Osborne's departure from the 99 team.
And I take a question from a listener in Tightwad, Missouri, and Cliff goes off on NASCAR's handling of A.J. Allmendinger's drug test.
Welcome back. Welcome back, guys. The final segment of the week, and we're proud to bring you for the very first week the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. And joining us from Banff Magazine and talking also both Banff and fantasy football and NFL in general is Mr. Miles Fork of Banff Magazine. Miles, welcome to the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. What is going on at the Banff this week?
Well, we got a photo shoot today of a couple of really hot models today that for the next issue of Banff Magazine, when it comes out on the 1st, they're going to be super, super hot. We're going to have a cover model of a girl named Deborah Benitez. She's probably one of the hottest little Latin girls in the city, so we're going to spice it up this coming up now.
All right, real quickly, and we're going to get into the NFL discussion here. How does one subscribe to Banff Magazine?
If you go to BAMFmagazine.com, BAMFmagazine.com, you can go right there, and it's free. It's an advertiser-driven magazine. It's all free for everyone to read. You can download it. You can print it off. You can do whatever you want with it. And so it's all free.
Well, be careful what you say. You can do whatever you want with it to our minions. I'm just saying.
I cut myself off thinking about the last
one. Well, guys, let's get right into it. It's Fantasy Football Huddle. It's the BAMF Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. Joining us also is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh, how are we doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Ted?
Good. I have to admit, I thought you were on just a while ago, and Miles got a different phone number, so I didn't recognize it, and I thought it was yours because you guys have very similar prefixes. But that's okay. We're all good. All right, guys. Obviously, we know Andrew Luck has signed a contract. Any thoughts on that before we get into some discussions on the fantasy football huddle here on the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle? Josh?
No, I'm just surprised it took so long. It's a nice, easy contract that averages like $5 million a year. I'm just surprised it took so long.
Miles?
I'm sorry. What was that question again? The audio kind of started kind of some weird on me.
Andrew Luck, what are your thoughts about finally getting him signed?
Oh, thank you. Okay, yeah, Andrew Luck. I think it's a good deal. I think even though he had to take some time away for his studies, I think that it's going to be a good fit.
I do too. And we just had Rich Nye on just a little bit ago from WTHR Sports and talking about Andrew Luck. And I think a lot of it, he was talking about, hey, we want to see what RG3 ended up with. So obviously he ended up with his contract as well. So we want to talk about some of the fantasy football projections. Obviously, we're putting together some of our pre-draft analysis of what's going on here, and guys, and if you want to be a part of the ever popular Balanced Fantasy team, you need to let us know. And obviously, the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle will have draft night, and maybe we can work something out with Banff coming out there at BW3s and, you know, really doing it up right the only way only Banff can do it in the Banff models and draft night. I'm going to tell you what, it could happen. We could make it happen. You just never know what will happen here. Let's talk about obviously some of the positions that we haven't really talked about is much on the line of defenses and some kickers, and we really haven't had a chance to really kind of get into those power zones. And so I think that what we'll do is talk about the defenses this week, and, you know, buy, sell, or trade, of course. I hope that nobody is basing their first round picks on defenses, because if that's the case, all I'm going to tell you guys are going to be in sad shape. We used to have a guy that played with us, and he was a local city county councilman here in Indianapolis, so I won't embarrass him. But I will tell you this much. He started out drafting a defense, and well, he tried forever to say that it was because of an error in the system on draft night or something to that effect. I still think he drafted a defense. So, well, let's just talk a little bit about draft strategies. Josh, we'll talk with you. When does a team or a team owner want to draft a defense into their strategy? I typically like to incorporate that like one of my last rounds, one of my last picks, and I can often trade up and down with a defense. But what's your strategy when working with defenses, Josh?
I usually wait till one of the very last two or three rounds, because defense ultimately isn't going to get you that many points throughout the course of a season, and taking any higher than maybe the second to last or last round would be a serious misjudgment. And while taking a defense in the first round of the draft, for real.
All I'm saying, if you guys pass up a quarterback, a wide receiver, running back for a defense, you got what's coming with you. Guys, you're joining us here on Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. We're going to do this every week all throughout the NFL season, and we're hoping to really kind of team up with Banff Magazine for some good promotions. And I've been told by Mr. Miles that from time to time we might be able to get a model or two on the air with us to talk some fantasy football with us too. So that would be kind of cool. Well, let's just kind of break down some of the top defenses that are out there. Again, obviously, this is just kind of my list and my projections here as we break down the list here on the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. Well, guys, I'm going to start going backwards with my top 10, and hopefully we could get them all in. Number 10, guys, I like the Cincinnati Bengals to be in the top 10 this year. Obviously, they pass a lot of stuff to deal with coming up here with the Bengals and so forth, and the defense with the Bengals. Obviously, last year not so hot, but I think that the Cincinnati Bengals have really a lot of to offer for defenses this year. So we'll start with you, Miles. Any thoughts on the Cincinnati Bengals defense?
For me, you know, I don't have them hardly in my top 10 at all. I'm not going to have them in my top 10 as far as who I'm picking. My number one is going to be San Francisco. I mean, last year they had 40 sacks, 21 interceptions, 14 fumble recoveries. I'm not even going to have them. They're not even on my radar this year.
Okay. Josh, so you're going to say, in other words, it's going to be more of a sale, not a buy or trade or anything like that. For you, Miles.
For me, Trade.
Yeah, you're in. All right, let's review the rules. Buy them, you either buy them, you keep them, you think they're a good pickup. Yeah, trade them, you'll pick them up, and you'll use them for trade bait to trade for a better or equal opportunity. Or sell, you don't pick them up at all, you steer clear based on what
okay,
you're
yeah,
telling.
Okay, yeah, sell. Sell.
All right, sell. So buy, sell, or trade, Josh, with the Cincinnati Bengals.
So.
I would definitely go with sale. I think that, but here's what you got to also look at. You got to look at where you're buying. And here's where my strategy when drafting a defense into my fantasy football. Guys, certainly we want to hear your thoughts. You want to give us a call, 917-889-8516 here on the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. But I look at the bye weeks. And you look at where your bye weeks are at. You got to look at it. If you have two top caliber defenses, for example, that have the same bye, you look at situations like that. Come to mind, you look at the Cardinals and the Packers, for example. Both of those have the same bye. Well, what do you do? So you really want to look at the bye weeks to have alternate bye weeks, because even if you've got a weaker defense, so I would pick them up maybe for a trade. I certainly don't know that I'm buying them, but I'm more in the trade motion for them as well. So Cincinnati Bills, we will. It looks like we're going to two sales and one trade. Okay, moving up the list to my number nine, the Seattle Seahawks. What are your thoughts? We'll start with you, Josh. The Seattle Seahawks for a defense. And obviously, it's still very, very early to look at the projections as far as where they're going to be at. But you can look at where they're at, last year. And a lot of, the thing about defenses is they can actually get you a lot of points when it comes to interceptions and sacks. So if you got a good – well, for example, if you've got a lousy defense like the Indianapolis Colts, but you got a guy like Dwight Freeney who can make a lot of key plays – having the Indianapolis Colts as a defense is not necessarily a bad thing. So Seattle Seahawks, Josh, buy, sell, or trade?
I'm going to sell.
Okay. Well, maybe you were going to leave a comment there. Just sell, don't pick it up. I've got no interest in the Seattle Seahawks, okay? Miles, Seattle Seahawks.
They're right in the middle for me. I think that they've got some potential, but they're going to be a trade. I'm going to probably look to try to trade up to somewhere like more like in the Houston or the Philadelphia area.
And that would be a good trade if you could actually make that happen. I love these guys for a good trade. I mean, look at Urban and Jason Jones were added in the draft of free agencies and they are really upgrading their pass rush. Obviously, they have a defensive coach out there, and I think that they ended the season last year with like somewhere around the eighth or ninth ranked defense last year. So I like Pete Carroll. Obviously, he's proven to himself that he knows how to run a defense. And and the Seahawks generated 33 sacks in 2011. When you look at those kind of numbers, you almost got to say, hey, I want to see what the Seattle Seahawks are doing. Well, moving up the list here to number eight, where I'm at now, I'm Buffalo Bills. They're again looking at their defense in a bye week type situation. So, Miles, Buffalo Bills, buy, sell, or trade?
Buffalo Bills. I would probably sell. They're my top 10, but they're still not where I would like to be. If I've got an option, I see something that's a little bit better, I'm probably gonna trade them or sell them.
Okay, Josh, buy, sell, or trade?
I would pick them up as trade. If you had to be stuck with them, there's worse options, but if you could trade them, there's certainly better options.
Well, and here's the thing. You look at guys like Calvin Shepard. I mean, you look at what he's been able to do, and he's on the mark. And I tell you, I like defenders like that. And to be honest with you, I would buy right now, the Buffalo Bills, because they are a sleeper. And you're not going to get a lot of points. So when I say sleeper, I mean, I got to go out and get the Buffalo Bills. But, they can. If you play them on a bye week on the right week again, and we'll talk about this on another show. But when you look at fantasy football, it's all about the matchup. And if your matchup is right, the Buffalo Bills can do you very well. And in a tight situation, you know, look at this. Their bye week is not until week number 8. So that's a good area to have for a bye week pickup. So I like the Buffalo Bills this year. At this point, I'm going to say pick them up and see what happens. You might want to drop them a little bit later on. But, you know, I'm certainly betting that the Buffalo Bills would be a top top. We're on number 8, I believe, now. Guys, this group actually fell down for my top 5, and I think a lot of people say, what, you're only rating them number 8? I'm not that enthralled with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think that they are entirely overrated, and I really would pick them up for nothing more than trade bait. So we'll start with you, Josh. Buy, sell, or trade the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I would absolutely buy the Pittsburgh Steelers. I believe they're one of the top 3 defenses in the league, and they're going to have a huge season this year.
All right, Miles, buy, sell, or trade?
You know what? I agree. I think it's going to be a trade for me because I think that they've had a lot of injuries. I think that even they're not even in my top 10 this year, but they are for a lot of people. So they are definitely good. They are good for some trade bait for sure.
Well, I don't like them. I got to pick them up if I had to pick them up for some trade bait, but you know. I'm not a big fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're really, to me, like I said, they're entirely overrated. Are we on number 7? I lost track. I think we're on number 7.
Yeah, number 7.
I should have actually numbered these. I just put them in 10 in an order here. Talking about favorite sleepers, and I know this was one I really wanted to talk about, the Detroit Lions. The Lions are my favorite sleeper defense, guys. And, again, we talked about sleeper defenses with the Buffalo Bills. The Lions are my sleeper defense. Think about this, guys. The defense made a lot of stride to finish 3rd in takeaways last year, and this should even be a better season for the Detroit Lions. We saw an evolution process, which we talked about right here on this show, about the Detroit Lions. So I think it's your turn, Miles. If not, whosever turn it is, go. But I think that the Detroit Lions are a good sleeper pick.
Yeah, I think they're a good sleeper pick as well. Even though they're just on the fringes of my top 10 of what I've got going on. You know, but I think really, you know, last year they were kind of carried by that offense where they didn't have to be, you know, on the field very much. When you have a fresh team that's on that field that's being carried by the offense, that defense is going to, you know, have a little bit better, you know, points allowed for that season. I think that this season may be a little different, so I think that it would be a trade for me.
Guys, you're joining us now for the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. First week that Banff Magazine has attached their name to that. We appreciate everything they do. I want to take a quick second to talk to Miles about Banff Magazine. Then we're going to have to jump to the top 5 right after this quick talk about Banff Magazine. Miles, Banff Magazine, what is it?
Banff Magazine is a men's entertainment magazine that caters to the bikini, the lingerie, we talk about the man cave. We've got different things that are going on. We talk about, you know, like video games. We talk about movie reviews. You name it. If there's an interest that a guy has got, we try to cover it for sure. But that's what Banff Magazine is all about.
All right, Banff Magazine, Fantasy Football Huddle. Miles Fork is joining us, obviously, every Saturday morning, the last segment here. And as we move a little bit out of racing season and then more into NFL season, we're going to really try to extend this to 45 minutes to an hour because there's so much to cover in fantasy football. Well, I said the top 5, but we've only got time for the top 3. I want to start with your number 1, Miles. That's actually my number 3, the San Francisco 49ers. You really can't expect them to be as good as last year. And they tied the league for 38 takeaways. I'm sure you could still count on them. But they finished as the top unit despite only scoring 3 touchdowns. So, really, you know, the San Francisco 49ers are certainly – I pick them up. I buy them at this point. Josh, buy, sell, or trade the San Francisco 49ers?
Absolutely buy the 49ers.
Okay. Number two, the Philadelphia Eagles, and as we know, we've had on the show many times Ed Kratz of Calkins Media and a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles, and he has a lot to say about the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, back, this is a good situation. The Eagles were a mess there for a lot of season, and with a first time defensive coordinator and a lot of new players, and still finished one of the best fantasy defenses. I'm going to pick them up as well. Miles, real quickly, buy, sell, or trade the 49ers. I mean the Eagles. I'm sorry.
I would buy them. They're my good bye week team.
All right, there we go. All right, we've ran out of time here. Real quickly here, my number one pick, Josh, start with you, the Baltimore Ravens, buy, sell, or trade.
So.
Miles, buy, sell, or trade.
Agree, sell.
All right, guys, that's it for the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. Real quickly, Miles, where can people find Banff Magazine?
BanffMagazine.com. If you're a man and you like women, that's where you want to go.
Well, I'm definitely one of those. Josh, real quickly, 30 seconds or less, what's going on with the Indians or anything else this week?
The Indians return home Tuesday evening for an 8-game homestand.
Well, guys, I tell you what, it's been fun, but we have to call this party to an end. That's right. Party here at The Balance. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us today. What a great show that we had. Pete LaFuscia of RadioSpeedTalk.com. Kyle Gimble making his announcement from his racing team change. Scott Smith, Lucas Oil Raceway. Rich Nye, WGHR Sports. Jay Graves, the Jay Graves Report. Of course, Miles Fork of Banff Magazine and the Banff Magazine Fantasy Football Huddle. Guys, we're out of here, and we have got to go. This is it. We will see you next week. Remember, don't drink and drive. It isn't cool.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's all, folks.